Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real with Dr. Linda Chen. I'm her co-host, Audrey Bell Kearney, and this is our gracious host, Dr. Linda Chen. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, thank you. It's so good to see you as usual. To see you.
I'm rushing all the time, y'all, and it's so crazy. I start out with great intentions to be on time, to make sure everything is running smoothly, and then somebody calls or somebody knocks on the door. Something crazy happens all the time, and that has been my morning all morning. I've been up since like 6 o'clock this morning, and things have just been, I got up early to get started early, but then this happened and that happened. So anyway, I'm glad to be here with you today. And today we're going to be talking to Dr. Chen, and she's going to be sharing with us what to do. What do you know about spiritual warfare? That's a good one, because I don't know. So anyway, tell us what is that? What is spiritual warfare, and how do you recognize that?
Good question. You're starting out really good questions. I have been taught by some teachers and heard some ministers of the gospel say that there's no such thing as spiritual warfare. However, scripture is very clear. The Apostle Paul tells us to fight a good fight. He tells us that you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places and principalities, all of these things. God tells us to put on the weapons of our warfare. So spiritual warfare is real. And really what it is spiritual warfare in its simplest terms is two opposing wills. It's the conflict between two opposing wills. So in short, it's the conflict of two imposing wills. And it's interesting. My sister called me some months back, and she said, her daughter said, has a question. When did Satan become Satan? Now, this is a little girl. She's not even 9 years old yet, right? Wow. When did he become Satan? And I had to think about it. And you know, we look in Ezekiel 28. Now, first of all, you got to understand that when the Bible sometimes speaks in typologies and gives us a type of Jesus, a type of deliverer. And so when you think of, you know, scripture kind of lays that out for us. And when you think of the enemy of your soul, who is Satan, who is the devil, the Bible tells us in Ezekiel 28 that it talks about the king of Tyre, but he is a type of the enemy, a type of Satan. And that is the beginning of Lucifer. It tells us how he begins as the bright angel and all of that, the anointed cherub. But then it also tells us about his fall and how he became lifted up. Isaiah 14 tells us about how pride kicked him out. So now you have these two opposing wills. God created Satan to be the anointed cherub, right? Full of wisdom, full of beauty and all of that. And then he decided he wanted to be bigger than God. So that's what got him kicked out of heaven. So why it exists is because he wanted to be God. He wanted to be bigger than God. It's just like getting fired from your job because you want to be bigger than your manager or your boss or the CEO. No, you can't. There's anything with two heads is a monster. There can only be one head. One wow. head is a monster. Yeah.
That's a quotable moment. Anything with two heads is a monster. Okay, a monster. That's a good one.
It's a monster. And so we talk about why it exists is because the devil tried to usurp God's authority. And, you know, there's so much we can talk about. I have taught this class actually for about 14 years. And we started out with 9 weeks, and it can just go on and on and on. But it's important to understand, because scripture talks about it in Daniel, right, when Daniel prayed, and some of the stuff I'm repeating from other episodes, but we're still talking about scripture and why we need to understand spiritual warfare. Now, you know it exists, but then you have a hard time sometimes understanding, well, is this God doing this? Am I doing this? Is the flesh, is the devil doing this? So the fact is, when you become a Christian, you automatically enlist. You're enlisted in spiritual warfare, and it becomes you're at war with the enemy. The enemy is at war with you. Kind of like you know, if you were to go to a grocery store, you are a Ukrainian going to a grocery store, excuse me, and a Russian shows up, you may not be engaged in spiritual warfare with a weapon in your hand, but it's, we are at war with Russia, right? You're at war with Russia. When you understand what I'm saying? When we were at
war. It sounds like when you said that, I thought about gangs. You know, when you think about the gangs, you got the Bloods and the Crips. You walk into a store, one wears red, the other one wears blue. And it's unsaid because the colors say it all. Like, that's what I thought about as you were saying it.
That's an excellent example. You automatically enlist, and not everything negative that happens in our life is spiritual warfare, right? Ultimately, it's not even about us. Spiritual warfare is not really, really about us. It's ultimately an attempt to thwart the kingdom of God through us. That's ultimately what it's all about. And the consequences of our irresponsibility. So when you know you're engaged, then it's your responsibility to make sure that you're in boot camp. It's your responsibility to know how to use your weapons of praise, the word of God, and silence and worship. You should know how to use your weapons. And so we start out as baby Christians, and life is all rosy and all good and everything and all of that. And we like to tell people when you get saved, everything's all good. That's not true. That just is not true. And so consequences of our behavior will bring on some warfare. And we forget about that because every decision we make has a consequence. And God will permit it. You know, you could say, well, you know, isn't God on the throne? Isn't God good? And doesn't God love us? And if all these bad things are happening, why doesn't God stop it? And why doesn't God, you know, do something about it? And first of all, just like a natural parent, there are at least three reasons that God uses spiritual warfare. One is to accomplish his will. One, another is to reveal his glory and also to advance his kingdom. So when you talk about accomplishing his will, he conforms us into his image by crucifying our flesh. So sometimes you will let your child go through something so they will learn from what they go through. You can't rescue them from everything. You can't kiss every boo-boo. You can't put Campo Phoenique on every scrape. You won't even be there every time they have an incident. So you have to teach them how to engage and handle and help themselves so that when you are not there, they already know how to do this. They already know how to fight. They already know how not to succumb to peer pressure. They already know to say no to drugs. So you teach them these things to accomplish your will as the parent because it's for their good. Right. And
so Dr. Chang, quick question for you. So sometimes right now in the time that we're living in right now, there is a lot of people who are going through mental illness. Right. Mm-hmm. And some people call it spiritual warfare. Some people say it's really mental illness. Is there a way to determine the difference between the two? How do you determine spiritual warfare from real mental illness?
So I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know this, because sometimes it's a chemical imbalance, right? Sometimes they do need medication, and God will bring healing through medication. My own personal experience, when I encountered someone whose mind or so, I have encountered where it's been demonic activity, and I knew that it was demonic. So I can't speak to the knowing the difference quite so much between the medical and the spiritual, but I do know that even when someone is dealing with it medically, you can pray, and God is a healer. So when scripture talks about he gives us, it's one of these gifts of the spirit is diverse kinds of healings. There's an S on that. Right. So God can bring healings through mental healing. It could be a financial healing or healing in your marriage. So God can heal either way. He can deliver you if it's spiritual, or heal you if it is physical or mental, if you will. Either way, his glory is revealed. right? Mm-hmm. The reflection mm-hmm. and radiance of what it means. And so even when you think about it, scripture tells us where Paul, the apostle Paul said, death, where is your sting? And grave, where is your victory? Because Jesus got up from the grave. And so we had, and that was by the power of the Spirit of God. And I don't want to get too deep because I want people to be able to understand that this is keeping it real, that spiritual warfare is real. And sometimes we can open a door to spiritual warfare. We talked about this, I believe, last episode, where if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, either you believe in the word and not in the horoscope, you can open doors, which brings consequences, right, by engaging in activity that you know biblically is wrong. And so you've opened yourself wide open to it. And so you're basically saying to the enemy, come on in. He doesn't like you. And so you are invited in spiritual warfare at that point, right? Mm-hmm. I want to say this too. I've heard people say, my spiritual mother was 98 when she passed away, but there were times when she knew that she was engaged in spiritual warfare and things would happen with her body and so forth and so on. And she would say, yeah, bring it on, devil. And she knew how to fight in this spirit realm through prayer and quoting scripture out loud, because that's one thing that mm-hmm. will not return void is the word of God. He's going to watch over his word to bring that thing to pass, to bring it into fruition. But I say this, I don't say to the enemy, bring it on, devil. I don't invite a fight. For mm-hmm. me, that's like inviting the groom to the wedding. You know he's coming, so you don't need to send him an invitation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And not all people, you're not equipped. We're not always equipped when we say those things and we repeat what other people have. You have to be equipped. No one goes to war or battle without going through training first. You think about boot camp in the natural. You go, they make you shave up your head. You're looking like everybody else. You put on a uniform. You're dressed like everybody else. You have to, if you got long hair, you pull it up in a bun. You got to wear these little, they make you look like everyone else so that it is uniform. When you stand in the line, there is rank and file. Everyone is, there's a uniformity to it. And unfortunately, demons have more unity sometimes than Christians do. Demons are not fighting against demons. A lying devil is not going to fight against. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They unify to bring you down. All they care is about bringing you down. And what the devil ultimately wants is your mind.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. You just said something that was pretty profound. So demons are not fighting against demons. However, Christians fight against Christians all the time.
Yeah.
So what does that say about Christians? Because we know that you go somewhere, and I give you a prime example. I used to go to a church, and I would go to church, and I went to the same church for years, 10 years to be exact, sat in the same seat because I hate being late, so I'm always early. So I sat in the same seat every year. And I remember one year going in there, two things happened. One year I went in there and I had on some pants. That was the last year I went. It was a Pentecostal church, had on pants, and got totally embarrassed. I had just came from another event where I had to speak at a breakfast, just left straight from there to come to church because I didn't want to miss church. Got totally embarrassed and called out in front of the whole congregation because I had on pants, right? The second thing happened was I had come into some money, and I told my aunt that I got this money. It was a lot of money. And I said to her, now, mind you, it was funny because it was like, oh, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. And I got this money. And I said to her, well, I got this money, you know, and this is how I got it. She goes, that's between you and God. Just do what God tell you. It was hilarious. It's the way she said it. So mm-hmm. I donated money to the church. I made this nice donation to the church. Everybody came to see who I was. It was crazy. And so up until that point, though, it was like I was an outsider in that church, and I had been there for 10 years. And they asked me, you new here? I was like, I sit in the same seat, been sitting here for 10 years. So demons stick together. Why don't Christians stick together?
Oftentimes we deal with what the term we call is the flesh. But one, how did everybody know you donated? That's the problem I got, unless you told it.
That's, I didn't tell it.
Okay, so that's
an issue. I did not tell it.
We talk too much, right?
Yeah.
But often, jealousy, we don't stick together for a lot of reasons, right? For a lot of reasons. We have, we're jealous sometimes. We are broken individuals, right? We come broken before God, and it's only God, our wholeness, our completeness is only in Him. And that's why it's important to develop a relationship with Him, because again, He does it to accomplish His will and to make us more like Him. That's why some spiritual warfare exists. You go through it until you become more like Him. The more we become more like Him, the more we discern if something that we're going through is a trick or bait from the enemy. And we have to decide to behave like Christ, right? Who is unified, the Father, the Son, and Spirit, which is one, right? The triune Godhead. And they are one person with different functions. So when you learn your purpose, know who you are, get closer to God, behave more like Christ, then we will, this unity will become less powerful. That's why scripture says, when the brethren dwell together in unity, therein is the blessing of the Lord is commanded. And we fall for, pride is a big thing. And again, that's what got Satan kicked out. You know, we always want to be right. We feel like we got to dress this flesh up. We're always in competition one with the other. That's what's called a spirit of emulation. And some things, I want to be clear about this. There are some things that we are calling spirit that God is not calling a spirit. We call jealous a spirit of jealousy. No, scripture said that's a work of your flesh, right? You decide that's not a spirit. The spirit of adultery, that's not a spirit. That's a work of the flesh. When you look at Galatians chapter 5, that is a work of the flesh. So when we understand the works of our behavior, when I say our flesh, it's our decisions, our behavior, wanting to feel good in our emotions and all of those things. We're not here to feel good. We're here for a purpose, right? And it's not so much about our physical emotions, because feelings change like that. Yeah. People like you one minute, you say something, you do something that they don't agree with, and they don't like you anymore.
Right. Right.
So I'm based some of these things on my own experience. A lot is from my studying of it. But you can discern things that come from the enemy. Now, when you read scripture, there are many, many, many names for God and for Jesus, right? He's the Son of Man. He is the Savior. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the lily of the valleys, right? He is, God is the great I Am. You have all these different names. Same thing for Satan. Same thing for the devil, right? One of his names is the accuser of the brethren. And so when I hear accusation, and it can come in ways where it's very subtle, I'm like, that was of the devil. And people don't always know when they're lending themselves to demonic activity. I have this friend who would say, if I thought about something or changed my mind and moved something, well, I thought you said that, and I thought you said this, and I thought that. And after a period of years, and I said to myself, I wonder if she realizes that she sounds like the accuser, that she sounds like Satan. So what? I changed my mind. That's my feeling. You see what I'm saying? Right. So I discerned that as she did not realize, you sound just like the devil accusing me. Right? His voice can quote, he can quote scripture. I hear a question coming. Come on with this.
So I got a question, because I had this conversation recently with a friend, and this friend has always been accused, always. And I just had to ask the question, well, are you doing it? Because you get accused so very often. And they said, no, I'm not. And I never have. But the accuser is constantly accusing. Accusing. And I just had to ask the question, did you do it? And they were like, no, I didn't. I've never done it, never thought about doing, don't plan on doing it. And so my next question was, why do you think you get accused all the time? So the person that's accusing all the time, that person, so, how do they even recognize? Yeah, go ahead.
No. How do they recognize that?
How do they recognize that they are, that they're, because is that a spirit on them to make them accuse all the time? Because they do it all the time.
No, it could be their behavior from their upbringing. It could be that's all that they know. It could be that they practice that because that's how someone did them all of the time. Yes. But mm-hmm. I will say this, that the closer you get to the Lord, the more you recognize when you are unlike him. The Holy Spirit will convict you. The Holy Spirit will convict you of your behavior. When you ask the Lord, show me my heart, he is going to show you. When you say, God, show me me, he is going to show you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to show you. He's going to let you know. I had to say to a dear sister, I think I texted her either last night or this morning to tell her, she corrected me about some behavior last night. And I didn't refute her, but what she said about the behavior, I knew scripturally was not true, but her heart was to mm-hmm. correct the behavior. And so I kept saying, that's nope, I don't receive, nope, you're not right, you're not right. But the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, thank her for correcting you. Because she mm-hmm. meant it in love. But I, my spirit ear heard what you were saying, and I know biblically you're not right, but your heart for me in getting me to behave in a different way. And I was dancing to a song that in a way I should not have been to. And I love to dance, but you gotta be wise. You mm-hmm. gotta be very wise, because the enemy mm-hmm. will use what you like to do and pervert it.
Mm-hmm.
The timing can right. be off. You could be in front of the wrong people who are not mature enough to understand it's okay for you to behave or to dance, right? You know, like I was told, ministers don't wear lipstick. You know, that's right. Certain things you just don't do to cause people to stumble, and certain things you just have to correct people in a loving way. So the person who's doing the accusing may not realize that she's sounding like the devil and that he's using her. Now, I will say this too. That if someone is always accusing you of something, particularly the same thing, scripture also tells us to beware that, help me, Holy Spirit, help me, Jesus. One, don't let your good be spoken evil of, and also to refrain from the appearance of doing evil. So if you look like, and it appears like you're doing evil, example, if you're single and your best friend is a married man, you have to refrain from that. You understand what I'm saying? You cannot mm-hmm. do that. You can't behave in that way. So mm-hmm. I just want to, we've got to refrain from the appearance of being evil so that we are not accused constantly of you being used of the enemy.
You know, one of the things that person said to me was the person that's doing the accusing suffer from the things that she's accusing of in a previous mm-hmm. relationship. Like she had been burnt so bad till it's just ingrained mm-hmm. in her that everybody does the same. And mm-hmm. it's a constant battle with him to fight to say, I'm not the same. You know, yeah. I'm not that person.
Yes. But you don't have to keep defending yourself. Don't waste your time, your energy, your breath, because now that's another trick of the devil. He'll get you engaged in this long, drawn-out conversation defending yourself so that you're not focused on doing what you should be doing. And that's kind of what happened with Eve. You know, she's got this conversation going back, and the devil say, well, didn't God say this and didn't God say that? And some of the things the enemy said, told Eve that God say, God didn't even say that. He added some things to this. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He added mm-hmm. something. So if you don't know the word, the logos word, which is the Bible, and the living word, who is Jesus, then you can be bamboozled. You can be hoodwinked. You can be tricked very, very easily. If you as a math teacher You teach math. You know that 2 + 2 = 4. And I walk up to you and say, girl, you know what? You're teaching wrong. You know that 2 + 2 = 5. No, you know better because you know math, because you studied math, because you spent so much time teaching. And you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't have to always respond to the enemy of our soul. I simply tell him what I know. The battlefield is the mind. What Satan wants is your mind, because if he can get your mind, everything else follows that. When I know he had a thought comes in my mind that I know wasn't God, that I know is not healthy, that I know is not good, I simply say, shut up, Satan. I just say, shut up.
I remember someone told me one time, and this has always stuck with me. They said, whenever you have a question about something you're doing, all you have to do is say, would Jesus do that? And they say, if your answer is unequivocally no, then that's something you shouldn't be doing. And I was like, that's as simple as I can get it right there. So whenever I feel like I want to, now here's the thing though, whenever I feel like it's something that I, and you know you shouldn't be doing it, right? But you ask the question, now would Jesus do that? And you know the answer is no. The funny thing is, do you always ask the question? Because sometimes you don't want it, you don't want the answer you're going to get from the question, so you bypass the question. And so, you know, I think about things like that, because, you know, people will challenge you, they'll say things, and you'll challenge yourself and be beating yourself up and trying to figure, I know if I'm doing the right thing. And I was like, when that person said, Audrey, just ask, would Jesus do that? And if your answer is no, he would not, then you shouldn't do it if you're supposed to be in his likeness. And I was like, oh, that's real simple. Really, really simple. But do you ask a question all the time is the thing.
No, we do not. We do not. We have knee-jerk reactions. And then you also have to know whether he would do it or not. Because I've heard older people say, you don't question God. That's not true. Jesus questioned him. Jesus say, why has thy forsaken? He felt like he was forsaken. Why have you forsaken me? Jesus questioned God. So we throw these things out here. So you have to know him to know what he would or would not do. Right? Jesus didn't get angry? That's a lie. He turned over the tables, right? In the temple, because there was exchange of things that were ungodly. The money changes exchanging. So you have to know. You have to know.
Yeah.
And when you don't know, you don't do anything. So for me, if I don't know what to say, I don't say anything. If I don't know what to do, I'm not going to do anything. And one beautiful thing about God is he will save you from yourself. If you're endeavoring to do something and you're like, I really don't know if this is the right thing. I've been there many, many times. I really don't know if this is the right thing, or if this is the direction in which I should go. And I go and I start out to do it. If it's the wrong thing, he'll stop it. Now, Linda, how do you know if that's Jesus stopping you, or if that's this or the enemy of your soul bringing forth spiritual warfare, and he's just trying to thwart what God is doing? God will lead and guide you every step of the way. He'll lead and guide you. If there's a wall that's blocking it, God, is this you blocking this, or do I leap over walls? That's the name of Gad. You can leap over troops. You can leap over walls. You know, I can't emphasize this enough. If you don't take the time to read the scriptures and to ask the Holy Spirit to bring understanding, we will never really be victorious. We're just not going to know. And we study anything else we really want to know. And we just feel like, you know, I'm saved. I go to church every Sunday and every whatever day they have midweek service. I give my tithe and I offering. People say I pay. You don't pay God anything. You're returning. The tithe is 10% and the offering is whatever is above the 10%. If he gave you $100 and the tithe is 10, right? $10, you're returning, right? So it's good to know what the word says so that you know how to live. He wants us to live like him so that these dying world, these people who are living in an ungodly fashion, can see him in the flesh. It's so not about us. Mm-hmm. People want to see Jesus. They want to feel the love of the Savior, the one who died for them. They want to feel the love of God, who said he so loved the world that I gave my only begotten son. Because I love the world so much, I gave my son. Now, whether we receive him or not, that's up to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Spiritual warfare is real. And there are schemes for individual. There are schemes. If you have an inclination to do something, if you have a problem, say with lust, right, and you feel like you've been delivered, and you maybe were addicted to pornography and you stopped watching pornography, and maybe you were masturbating while you were, and then you stopped doing that and you feel delivered, don't you think for 1 minute that 5 years later, that enemy won't come back and try to tempt you again? He's not all knowing. Yeah. He doesn't know your future, but it's like he watches the game footage like a coach. I know how you play. I know your habits. I watched the game last night, and I believe it was a Philadelphia Eagle. And every time someone came at him, he was ducking and diving. He would do like this, and inevitably he would get by the person, the defense, right? And I said, he keeps making the same move, and they keep missing him. It's like they don't see him coming.
Yep.
You get what I'm saying?
Yep. Same? I do. I watched the game. And I said to my husband, why he can't, they keep trying to tackle him with one arm. Like, you can't tackle him with one arm because he does the same move and shake you every time. So I saw the game, and I was sitting up there doing just like, what's the one arm kind of tackle? You can't tackle. So that's so true. You know, I want to say this because I thought as you were talking about that, like I've always had problems with my weight my entire life. And it was crazy because my husband and I, we were talking about this the other night. Now, he loves me. So his goal is to make sure I have what I want, right? Even the things I do not need, like Reese's Cup, which is one of my weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And so I'll tell him, don't bring me the Reese's Cup. Don't bring me the cups. Because I'm not going to go in the store and buy them. Like, I won't buy them. So I tell him, don't bring me the Reese's, right? His mind is like, I know what she said, but I know she liked these, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm always struggling like with that. So I said to him, listen, I done gained 5 pounds. Do not bring me the Reese's cup. So he knows me, just like you said, like they know your weaknesses. And so even though it's not meant for harm, it's like his way of saying, I want her to have the things that she loves. Yes. It's not always good for you. So when people because here's the thing, my question to you is this, people may unintentionally bring you the things you don't need, which causes spiritual warfare, because that's a fight for me, right? And if it's in that house, in my house, I don't care where it is in the house, I'll leave it downstairs in the freezer so I don't get it. And something to say around 1 o'clock, I'm up doing work, girl, go down there and get that Reese's cup. You can start tomorrow.
That's a desire of that flesh. But one way to help him to help you is to outright say, do you love me? Not in a joking way. This is a serious, do you love me? You say you, then I need you. I'm asking you not to bring those things to me because it's a temptation for me. And if you love me, you won't bring me those things in the house anymore because it is killing me.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? It's a serious conversation. So we don't know sometimes. And see, we want what we want. It's always going to be that way until Jesus comes back. We want what we want. You know why? Because it tastes good, because it feels good, it looks good, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, right? And the lust of the eye. When it looks good, it feels good, and it tastes good, we're going to desire it. So it's that discipline. We've got to have that. I struggle too. Now, I've been struggling more lately, and but every day I'm saying, God, I need you to help me to be more disciplined. And this is the trap that I realized today. I realized this, that you can hear someone say how they lost weight, and the next day you're going to go try that thing. That may not be what you need to do. That's what you call a sin of presumption. You presume because it worked for that person that that's what's going to work for you. And that not even may be part of your DNA. So part of my makeup is I love to dance. So what do? I put on, I got some gospel house music, some upbeat music. Some of it is secular music, right? And that's what I do. But for me to go say, I'm getting ready to run up and down this hill because so-and-so say, I lost weight because I ran up and down the hill. That's not going to work for me. So there are things we bring on ourselves because we don't bring it to the throne room, and you've got to know yourself. You also have to know yourself. So spiritual warfare comes, it starts right here. And we have to help people help us. We got to help people. If you know, the level of your authority against the enemy also depends on your character. It depends on your character. Mm-hmm. The level of authority that God will give you and that you have over the evil one depends on your character. Right? But Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:10, he said, I've been given authority to edify and not to tear down. Right? So use the authority that you have to edify, to build up yourself rather than tearing down the things or, you know, accusing the enemy. You know, Bible tells us you don't make any railing accusations against Satan. I've heard people call him, oh, you black dirty dog, you slew foot. Scripture does not call him any, it doesn't call him that. So you won't be able to recognize him as that. You can recognize God by the names of God. You can recognize Satan by the names of Satan. One of his names in scripture is Beelzebub, Lord of the flies. So Lord of the flies. I got tricked one way and I learned another way through flies because I asked the Holy Spirit. I had a dream one night that I opened, that I was in my closet leaning down prayer. And when I opened up the door to come out, all these fruit flies were there, just a bunch of fruit flies. Now, scripture tells us to be fruitful. So when I asked and thought and meditated on that thing, God said it was a good thing. There is fruit coming from your prayer life. I had another incident, and this was in the natural, where I went outside and, you know, I was mad because I had to take out the trash. My husband didn't take out the trash. I go to put the trash in the bin outside and all these flies come out. And the Holy Spirit said this to me. Every time you open your mouth and say something negative, these flies come out like Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. And I said, well, then God, what were the maggots? He said, if you keep the lid closed, the maggots will die. Those were your thoughts, but they didn't morph into words. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Well, you can
I just got a question. So you were saying something a second ago. I lost what you were saying, but I kept the thought in my mind for the question I wanted to ask. Do you think excuses are a form of spiritual warfare? And I say that because you said spiritual warfare starts in your mind. And I have people that I work with that are clients, and I hear a lot of excuses. And I was just talking about this earlier because I'm not a big excuse person, right? And so, because I know what I've gone through, I know the type of work that I put in. So when people start doing excuses, I'm like, yeah, sounds like an excuse to me. Mm-hmm. Do you think that excuses are a form of spiritual warfare?
Not necessarily. I don't. I believe that is a weakness. That is a psychological weakness, or that is just somebody who's just lazy and doesn't and say they want something. But you don't get what you want. You get what you work for and what you prepare for, not what you want. Mm-hmm. Right? I want $1 million, but I have to work for it, right? And then I have to prepare myself to be able to handle it. And so people with excuses, that's you got to be mindful how to invest your time. You can like money, you can spend time, or you can invest it. When you invest, there's a return on it. Right. And so if someone's giving you excuses, you have to ask them, is this something you really desire? And then ask them why several times. Maybe they just think they want something because they see somebody else with it, or they see someone else doing it, or they want you to be in their lives, or they see something in you that they know that will benefit them.
That's interesting. And I feel, you know, it's so funny you say that because there is somebody in my circle that I feel is just like that. They just want me in their lives. Not this person, but there is somebody else. And I realized that. And I'm like, I just kind of roll with it, but okay. I knew that because I felt it, but I've never spoke it out. This other person, I feel like they were trying to do something because of a goal that their parents had. And they feel like I got to carry on this mission. Mm-hmm. But when it's time to do the work to carry on the mission, it's like I'm getting all these excuses. I'm like, do you really want that though?
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, okay.
God will permit anything Satan brings. He has to have permission from your father. When you look at Job, God did not say, the devil didn't say, can I have Job? God offered and served Job up because he knew Job. He knew. And so, you know, one of the things, God is sovereign. He is completely 100% 24/7 sovereign. But sometimes he permits these things to build our character so that we can have more authority. He can give us more authority, right? Character is developed through temptation, right? It's developed through spiritual warfare. It's developed through disciplines. And God will permit these things in order to develop our character. Now, the enemy will send someone into your life to draw you away from your purpose, to get you wasting time, to get you to be codependent and let me help this people, you know, and you try to act like you're God in their life. No, boo. I love you and all of that. But you ask God every time someone shows up new in your life and is ask God, is this, did you send this person or did this person come from the enemy? Or am I attracting this person because of what's in my own soul?
That's my husband said to me one time. He said, why you always meet up these strange people? I said, what does that say about me? He just shook his head, but they're strange in a good way. And he always say that to me. And I said, so what does that say about me? Because I heard that you attract what you are. He just looked at me and shake his head. And it's so funny. I laugh now because it was joking, but it's always people that are a little eccentric, right? And I know I'm a little bit on the other side. I know I'm a little eccentric, right? And so I said to him, what does that say about me? And he just shakes his head all the time. So you're right about that. You got to ask yourself, you know, why you're attracting who you're attracting. Because, you know, I was told you attract who you are pretty much. And I was like, okay, you know. And I think that's partially true. Because some people, I was like, yeah, not you though.
Not there's a difference between being attracted and being drawn. You know what? I find Denzel attractive, but I'm not drawn to him. You know, you find something attractive, you find something appealing in it, but doesn't mean you're drawn to it, right? So the anointing is attractive, and people are drawn to the anointing. That's why you have to know what purpose does this person serve in my space and time right now? What is the purpose? What is their heart? I always think, God, what is in a person's heart? Why are they here? What do they want from me? God, is there anything in me that I can give them? And then when you give it, you got to know, you know, it might be time to go. I've given you what the Lord told me to give you. Love you. That don't mean keep hanging on like a leech.
Right. Right. That's true, too. That's true. So Dr. Chen, to give some takeaways to people who are listening, right? And they may still be a little bit confused about, you know, understanding spiritual warfare and understanding how to actually recognize what they're going through. Because I, you know, sometimes we kind of get wrapped up in the situation itself and may not know that that's actual spiritual warfare. What are a couple of steps that you can give people so they can recognize you may be in a war right now with the spirit?
If it is opposing the will of God, if it is tearing down the will of God, tearing down your family, your marriage, everything that you know that is right in the Lord Jesus, then you know you are in spiritual warfare. If it is against the kingdom of God, you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that is spiritual warfare. So there really are no steps 1, 2, 3, because we also have to know that God will permit it, right, to develop our character. And our character is even developed through endurance, and that it is a process. And so aside from knowing the Lord and aside from reading and understanding your word, you cannot really know. There's a gift God calls discernment, the spirit of discerning, the spirit of discernment. When you walk in that discernment, you can discern spirits. You can discern. It's a knowing down in your knower. If there was a 1, 2, 3 step to everything we could do, biblical people would do it. They wouldn't even read the Bible. They wouldn't even talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
Just let me just 1, 2, 3. That's all I need, Jesus. Love you. Yeah. Till I need the next 1, 2, 3.
That's true. I want to skip the line, please. I want to skip the line, please, Lord.
I don't want the relationship. No, I just want the steps.
Yep. I want to skip the line. So this has been amazing as always. What you got going on? What's coming up?
You know, Audrey, I am in a season of rest and I don't have a lot. This is one of my favorite spaces right now. I've done some recording, got one coming up at the end of this month to continue to download or upload classes on my website so that people can take the classes there and get the study guide from there. My next live class is in April, which is self-awareness. We'll do that live. And right now I've got some family things going on and some business things where God is calling me, set these monthly classes aside. So what's going on now is I'm in a season of rest, but I'm just producing at a different level and a different platform in a different way. I hope that answers.
I love it. Oh, and I love that. A season of rest. What is that? Yeah. Like and it's so crazy, Dr. Chen, because I love what I do, but there are moments where I was like, Lord, I just need to rest for a second. And there's a moment throughout the day that I say that, you know what? I'm just going to stop and just rest for a minute. I'm just going to take a minute to myself. So I think that's great. I saw the logo. I'm like, wait a minute. You got your own water? Hold on now. Like that's a new business venture right there. Like, wait a minute. Like faith in a bottle, baby. Faith in a bottle.
I love it.
I thought that was a new water or something. Faith, you know, people bottle. Say, hey, I'm sell everything right now. I'm waiting for them to sell some oxygen in a second. So anyway. Listen, if you guys are, she's in a spirit of rest. However, if you need more information about all of the great things she do, you can always go to her website. Go to her website, check out the classes, you know. And do you do consultations with people?
I do some consultations. And then every month we still have our women's Bible study. Okay. And that's the CWITN.us website. That's okay. A different ministry. And right now I have some other people teaching because I'm in a season of rest. I've trained these people up, raised them up. God is anointing them. But that's CWITN.us for our monthly Bible studies.
Okay, let's pop that on the screen. So if you CWITN.us, if you want to go to Bible study, are the classes in person or are they virtual?
We're back live. We've gone back live in January.
Okay. Got it. All right. Well, listen, as always, thank you for sharing your wisdom with us and empowering us to learn more about God and what we should be doing to make sure our spiritual life is growing. I appreciate you for doing that and just, you know, you don't know, but when I get off of here, I have to think about some things. Every time we do this show, I come on here, I'm always running. But when I get off, I have to stop for a second. And, wow, that was powerful. Good. You know, and you said some things that made me think, like, who are these people that are around me and why are they here? Not everybody, but there are a few that I have some question marks about.
Yeah.
Thank you for, you know, bringing that to my attention. I don't believe in coincidences. So I believe that when I hear things that kind of touch me deep down, mm-hmm. I was supposed to hear that, or I was supposed to be there, or I was supposed to see that. So that's how I feel about a lot of things. Yeah. Thank you for that. So listen, I hope you guys enjoyed this as much as I did. Be sure to check the website out if you want to be a part of a Bible study. We'll be back in 2 weeks, February 27th. You stay safe out there. And always remember that, listen, if you are in question, find you a good spiritual leader.
Yeah.
And listen to what they have to share with you. All right? Because I got mine. All right. Thank you, Dr. Chen. I'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.
Love you. Peace.
All right. Bye, everybody.